Well, today we are going to continue in the Beatitudes. We're going to be ending next week in the Beatitudes and continuing on the Sermon on the Mount, the Blessed Life. When we started the Blessed Life series, if you remember, we saw that the United States is full of unhappy people. All you have to do, you can Google it, look at the statistics, look at all that's going on. We saw that the world has been trying to search for true happiness with no success. Ultimate happiness eludes the world. It eludes those apart from Christ. This puzzle for happiness has been attempted in thousands of forms, in thousands of ways with no success. And real happiness still is a puzzle to the world. Yet Jesus gives the pieces of the puzzle to the blessed life. And today we're going to see the last piece of the puzzle. We know that tomorrow is Veterans Day, right? There we have them, our soldiers. We know tomorrow is Veterans Day. While we honor and we thank those veterans who have sacrificed so much, that have sacrificed so much for our freedom, that answer the call as volunteers, to serve the nation. When we think about our freedom, when we think about our veterans, however, it does something. What does it remind us of? It reminds us that our world is at war and that peace is not existent. So many desire peace that desperately is lacking in a sin-fallen world. It reminds us that we are always ready for war. And as long as sin rules the heart of man, praise the Lord for our U.S. military. Amen? In fact, Gabe, my son, Kayla's husband, right now is in South Korea. Right now serving in South Korea. He's training to deploy a field hospital and tear it down in a two-week period. Why are they there training to do this and tear it down? It's not even going to stay there. It's an exercise. Because they need to know if they can do that in war. They need to know and prepare that if we ever go to war with North Korea, that we can put a field hospital up in 2 weeks for our wounded warriors. In case of war. In fact, did you know this? That over the last 4,000 recorded years of world history, the world has only seen 300 culminated collective years of peace. Out of 4,000, collectively, only 300 years of peace. And the toll in the lives, the suffering, and the mass displacements we've seen through history continues to spread like a plague across the globe, even today. The Bible itself tells us in Romans 3:17, the way of peace they do not know. The way of peace the world does not know. And the history of mankind bears truth to the Word of God, doesn't it? But the wars in this world hardly tell the whole story of the strife, conflict, and hostility we see all about us. Right? This is what we see in our world all around us. Riots, racial animosity, violence, street fighting, roads raid, all of these and more you can add on. We could just continue the list. But they're all common themes at the news hour. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Jim, you told me how much you love to watch the news? And add to all this violence and anger in the workplace and at home. Home, sweet home, for far too many, is a war zone. You may not know it, but in Christian homes all across this world, in secular homes apart from Christ all across this world, there are wars going on in the home. We live in a world that globally, nationally, locally, and personally are in a tenuous position of immediate conflict. Do you know that you're a moment away from immediate conflict because of your sin nature? Just let somebody walk up to you and pop you on the back of your head. Moment away. The world at any moment is ready for spontaneous combustion at any time. How many of you know the military phrase, since we're on Veterans Day, during the Cold War, we had a philosophy with the USSR at the time called MAD. What was MAD? Mutual Assured Destruction. That is, at any moment, how we are in relationships. And into this world of strife, so desperate for peace, Jesus, once again, has an upside-down way of thinking, and he says, blessed are the peacemakers, in verse 9. Here's the next beatitude. And this is the last piece of the puzzle the world has as to how to live the blessed life. That to so many believers, the true child of God, the true citizen of the kingdom, it is apparent and we know it. We're going to see next week one more blessing. But right here in verse 9 is the last quality or the last character trait listed in the Beatitudes of a believer. Next week, we see what can happen. Blessed are you if now all these qualities culminate into something. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, he's addressing individuals about their personal lives in relation to those around them. As we talked about in Men of Valor yesterday, to those within your sphere. All of the Sermon on the Mount is about how the true believer lives out their life before God, inside and outside. So I'm not going to talk about being a peacemaker globally. I'm not going to talk about being a peacemaker internationally. But being a peacemaker personally and individually. All right? Being a peacemaker in your world, your sphere of influence, in your home, in your life, as you rub shoulders with those around you, Jesus says, blessed is the peacemaker. So this morning we're going to look at the character of a peacemaker, the wisdom of a peacemaker, and the blessing of a peacemaker. Let's look at the character of this peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Here's the character. For they shall be called what? Sons of God. Wow. How many of you know that all true Christians born again through Jesus Christ are true sons of God? Right? Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is not talking about how to become a son of God, but how a true son of God lives. Notice there is no article before the word sons, which emphasizes character or quality. Meaning that peacemakers do something. A peacemaker actually exhibits the character of God, their heavenly Father. We can see that in 6:9. It's that idea we've all heard. We see this in Matthew 5:45. Luke 6:35, it's this idea. Like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Son. And you know, God is called the God of peace 5 times in the New Testament. We see it in Romans 15:33, 16:20, Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 13:20. God of peace. What was God's major work? His major work was to make peace between the lost and rebellious sinner and himself through Jesus Christ. Because when sin entered the world, man was eternally separated from God the Father. Man was at war with God. Colossians 1, 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 15 through 16. It is through Jesus Christ. So here we learn something about peace. Biblical peace is not just the absence of war, the absence of enmity or strife. There is not a lot of strife and conflict in a cemetery, is there? Rest in peace. How many? R.I.P. Rest in peace. But that is hardly the model of peace. Biblical peace, godly peace, is not just a ceasefire agreement. It's not just a truce or a cold war, such as depicted right here in this comment. Listen to this. Peace is that glorious moment in history when everybody stands reloading. That's not peace. Ceasefire agreement. Biblical peace is so much more than that. We must understand this last piece of the puzzle. The Greek word here for peace is the word used to translate the Old Testament Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. Shalom. A word that speaks not just of the absence of war, not just of the absence of strife and hostility, but the presence of blessing and wholeness in relationship. Do you understand that? Biblical peace is not just the abolition of warfare, it is the creation of welfare. Not welfare as an entitlement, but welfare as in wholeness, blessing in relationship. A biblical peacemaker who is manifesting the very nature and character of God. This person not only seeks to end the hostility and the enmity with somebody, but they seek to bring about harmony and true reconciliation. It's not just about achieving a ceasefire, but it's about going the extra mile to achieve reconciliation and wholeness and blessing. Shalom. Just as God Himself has done in our salvation. Isn't that beautiful? That's the character of a peacemaker. What about this wisdom of a peacemaker? We were in the James series. Who here can remember all of my sermon titles and everything I said in James? If you are, I want to meet you. We're going back to James 3, 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show it by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from heaven, but is earthly, natural, and remember we talked about this in the series, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. Does it sound like what we've been talking about in the Beatitudes? And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow, there's the Beatitudes. In practice, Verse 13, are you wise? James says with an expectation, then show it. If all the nasty things we just read in verse 14 and 16 characterize your life, you do have wisdom. But not the wisdom from above, but rather, James says, the wisdom from below. Basically, verse 15, it is demonic. It's demonic. That is scary. If you're a regular peacebreaker, a war maker in your home, at work, or on the highway, you are far from being godly in that moment in character. Your actions at that moment are truly demonic. That's where they flow from. You are more at that moment like hell than heaven. A war maker, conflict starter, peace breaker is a happiness taker. Truly. It's so sad that home sweet home for so many has become just like these war zones. I love the word but from a biblical standpoint, because where there's a but, there's a change. But we see in James 3, 17 through 18. Godly wisdom is different. Notice something here in James. How many of these evidences of heavenly wisdom are the very marks of the qualities in the Beatitudes? Pure, blessed are the pure. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see, it's not just enough to be a peace lover wishing for peace in your relationship. It says, blessed are the what? Peace makers. The doers. He who does the word of God. He who puts the word of God into action. Who strives to bring about or maintain, Ephesians 4, 3, biblical peace and harmony. Blessed is that man, that woman. And we have to ask ourselves, if I'm not a peacemaker when peace is needed, am I acting godly? Am I acting with godly wisdom? The ultimate answer is no. If our character isn't godly, our wisdom is from below. Only when we exhibit the godly character of God is a heavenly wisdom. Notice this in James, verse 17. The heavenly wisdom that is peaceable is first pure. We looked at the pure in heart last week. In Romans 4, 17, it tells us something about the kingdom of God. It said, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But purity and righteousness are first. The Beatitudes. However, let's get one thing straight. Heavenly wisdom is not peace at any price. All right? Certainly not at the expense of truth, right? Truth can never be sacrificed, my friends, to gain a perceived peace. Because when you sacrifice truth for peace, it's only perceived. Such a compromise in truth only produces a fake or false tenuous peace, a truth with hostility muzzled for a moment. Examples of this we see all around us. For example, when a people or a church or a couple are in conflict, true peace and reconciliation only come when the issues that divide are faced in truth, where then real confessions can flow, real forgiveness can be extended, real mercy can be given. And then true reconciliation and true harmony and peace can be achieved. But we must be willing to pursue it. We must be willing to be the peacemaker. To say we're just not going to talk about it is not biblical peace, but it is a worldly form of a truce. It is a worldly form of a cold war that doesn't bring real peace. Amen? So we see the character. We see the wisdom. Let's look at the blessing of a peacemaker. Here, I want to take you to 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, which is from Psalm 34, okay? It tells us some basic principles to achieve this. Peter has, to this point, told his readers, we'll see in a minute when we get to these verses, but prior to these verses, to this point, he's told his readers how to live under the government. He's told them how to act on the job. He's told wives how to win your husbands. And husbands, how to treat your wives. But now, how to love your life. Now he's going to tell you how to love your very life. It's your move. What will you do? Do this when you make your move. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For, now he's quoting Psalms, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. How many here want to love your life? Let's just show a raise of hands, because I want to come talk to you if you don't. Do you want to see good days in your life? Peter isn't talking about wanting to live longer. He's not talking to one about wanting to add years. He's not talking about wanting to have all the material things and this or that. He's talking about something here. Do you want to love your life, not how long you live, but no matter how long you live? The Amplified Bible says, let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days. The NIV, whoever would love life and see good days. This is an age-old desire in the heart of every person. A prospect held out to every heart in the Old Testament and offered again in the New Testament. That you can love life. That you can love your life and see good days. Everyone wants to not only live, but they want to love the life they live, to enjoy the life they live, to see their lives filled with these good days. This is not unchristian behavior. Who's the giver of life? Actually, the truth is, as a Christian, loving life can be achieved in its truest sense of the meaning, to love life. What's the alternative? Hating your life, the bad days, the wasted days, the regretted days. Verse 9, do you want to inherit a blessing? So how? How? If I could give you some wonderful, deep, deep how-to, well, we can only briefly look at the wonderful truths in this passage. But I'm here to tell you. You could sit on a psychiatrist's couch for years and years and years and years. You could spend your entire fortune and never receive more wisdom than what God tells us right here in these verses. So here's the big one. Peter briefly said, do good. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. Peter's quoting Psalm 34, 14. That's it, everyone. That's the plan, Pastor. That's the secret. You remember Naaman? When Naaman the leper, he went to Elisha to obtain a cure for his cancer, his leprosy. Elisha told him to go wash himself in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman got upset at such simplistic instructions. He had thoughts the prophet would have told him to do some great thing, 2 Kings 5:13. But he was persuaded to obey, and he found the cure, the blessing that he sought. Don't rule out plans that are too simplistic. Praise God for the simplistic plan. It's not rocket science. There are two negatives and two positives here. Here's the two negatives. Keep your tongue from evil and turn away from evil. How could we say that? Guard your tongue, watch your walk. Guard your tongue and watch your walk. If we truly practice these two negatives, we really would have many more days devoid of the consequences of our evil mouths and our evil walks. Here's his two positives. Do good and what? Seek peace. Pursue it, he says. You must pursue. 1 Peter 3:9, these are principles right out of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, give a blessing instead. Instead of going to war, instead of escalating the situation, instead of talking back and escalating it, give a blessing instead. Instead of tit for tat, instead of give as good as you get. Remember, we saw that a few weeks ago in the worldly standard. Be like Jesus and give as good as you get from God. Luke 6:27 through 28. Do good. Bless. Peter says, you were called for this very purpose. Wow. You see, our calling is not to get down and dirty with the world, but to live above its methods, above its persecution, and walk on a higher plane. We're not called to go to war with people. We're called to go to war with Satan and win people to Christ. By our lips, by our walk, to be these lights and city on a hill. And we're going to see that later on in the Sermon on the Mount. John Wesley said this, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can and all the times you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. Does that sound biblical? Yes. Do something every day to make someone happy, even if it's only to leave them alone. If you can't be good. But hey, let's focus on what Peter said here. Seek peace and pursue it. That has the connotation or meaning to go after peace like a hunter goes after prey. Where there is no peace, pursue it and do all you can to bring about real peace and harmony. Imagine if peace and harmony replaced anger. Imagine if peace and harmony replaced hostility, replaced bitterness or animosity or division. Would you personally live a happier, more blessed life? Just from a very basic level in human interaction. You would. As we celebrate Veterans Day, we honor these veterans. And on Memorial Day, we honor our fallen. Listen to what World War II General John MacArthur said. The soldier above all others prays for peace. For it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. There are ramifications to conflict and war. The soldier above all prays for peace. We too as Christian soldiers must pray and pursue peace as we are in this conflict with principalities, demonic forces, as Jesus Christ uses us for His glory to be His vessels of mercy. Remember? Romans 12:18 says this though, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Sometimes someone just will not allow it. Sometimes war and conflict are impossible because, as David said, I am for peace, but they are for war. You with me? But every effort should be made to make peace. Every effort should be made to pursue it. God tells us in His Word that when we exercise heavenly wisdom and we follow this path of peace, it will lead to life and happiness. Proverbs 3:18. Why? Why? Peter tells us in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Here Peter again is quoting Psalm 34, 15 and 16. When you turn from evil, my friends, when you do good and seek peace and pursue it in humble obedience to the Lord, God's eyes will be upon you. God will be pleased with you. His ears will be open to your prayers. We can say, what a blessing. What a prospect. What potential. Amen. You will have the blessing of good days, powerful prayers, all adding up to a life you love, to a life you are living, because you're living it God's way. How many of you know that's the happy life? The character of a peacemaker, the wisdom of a peacemaker, the blessing of a peacemaker. Let me conclude today. What is it all about? I want you to notice something that was deep for me as I studied this. I hope we all learned something today here. Notice in all of the Beatitudes, there was something to be received. Receive the kingdom of heaven. Receive comfort. Receive the inheritance of the earth. Receive will be filled. Receive mercy. Receive the privilege to see God. But here in this final beatitude describing the character of the kingdom citizen, they do not receive anything except their identity, for now they are called something, sons of God. Do you see that? Being a peacemaker is not just another little thing in the line of your to-dos. It's not just another thing saying, I need to add that to my life. But rather, this is massive. It is the culmination. It is the capstone of all of the previous Beatitudes. Look at the Beatitudes and we see something remarkable about Jesus Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus was the ultimate example of that as He humbled Himself and emptied Himself and became man. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus was the ultimate example as He mourned over the sins of the world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus was the ultimate example of hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to please the Father. And we saw that He lived His whole life perfectly, right before man and right before the Father. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus was the ultimate example of showing mercy as He walked this earth, as He engaged with other people. And He was the ultimate example of the mercy of God in coming to pay the very price for man's sins, paying the debt for them so that they did not have to receive what they rightfully deserved. Blessed are the pure in heart. Jesus is the ultimate example of the pure in heart because we know there is zero contamination or sin that exists in His heart, that exists in His nature. There is no sin in Jesus Christ. All of these show the perfect qualities and character traits of Jesus. But here, blessed are the peacemakers. Here, Jesus is something else. He is the ultimate example of his completed work for mankind. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, he's on the throne. It's complete. And he's offered peace. We were lost in our sins with no hope for eternity. We were eternally at war with God. We needed desperately someone to bring peace back into this broken relationship. But only Jesus, the Son of God, could bridge this separation. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. This is the purpose, Romans 5:10. We were His enemies, we were at war with Him, but Jesus pursued peace, and He brought us peace to those who accept Him as Savior. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. Here is the final quality of a believer that we see Jesus' ultimate purpose in why He came. To be priest between God and man, to those who would call on Him, to those who would repent, to those who would humble themselves, to those who would mourn over sin, He would give the right to be called sons of God. This isn't just a one-off thing in your Christian life. Being a peacemaker, therefore, expresses the essence an ultimate purpose of God's salvation. One day we know God will even bring literal peace to this world that knows no peace through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. One day He's coming back. Did you know when you engage in sharing Jesus Christ to the world, you ultimately are a peacemaker? Even evangelism is wrapped up as a peacemaker. Helping others to be reconciled and making peace with God. Believers, my friends, you're the true army of God. But believers are also the true Peace Corps. Amen. The peacemaker reflects the character and reflects the love of God the Father. A peacemaker will forgive his abusers, love his enemies. He will turn the other cheek. He will walk that second mile we saw that Jesus talked about. Rather than, like the world, strike back, seek revenge, and get their due. They had it coming, and I'm right to give it. That is of Satan and not of Christ. Jesus is the judge. Remember, we saw that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We must put our faith and trust in Him. He will right all wrongs one day. But as far as is concerned within my power through the Holy Spirit, I will seek peace if I can. That is godly. Hard to do, but godly. But it's doable through the power of the Holy Spirit. Actions that only escalate or continue the cycle of conflict and warfare only breed warfare. To the world, accomplishing peace is such a puzzle. They cannot put that puzzle together. They cannot find real happiness. Nothing fits for them apart from Christ. But to the child of God, the pieces all fit perfectly together. The path to peace and being a peacemaker follows the previous six Beatitudes. Do you want to know something amazing? Each Beatitude, I showed you ways that you could pursue that quality. Do you know, to be a peacemaker, I can show you no ways to pursue that quality except to refer you back to the previous six Beatitudes. Isn't that amazing? But we cannot live the Sermon on the Mount in our own strength. We fail. We give in. Praise God for His mercy, His grace, and forgiveness. Amen. But can we not pursue these qualities? I want to ask you over the next 30 days to do something. I believe wholeheartedly that if you could take the Beatitudes and implement them into your life, it would transform the Lord's work in your life. It would change much of our inner soul and spirit. I want you to pray for God's grace to be poor in spirit. You see, pride and the love of self are the killers of peacemaking. These are the very opposite quality traits of the poor in spirit, that person who mourns over their sin. When we become full of ourselves, when we're willing to sacrifice unity and harmony and our relationships, even in the workplace, at church, at home, that we might get our own way, we are placing self over humility. The proud person doesn't take responsibility for their part in a conflict, but the humble will and will pave the way to peacemaking. So please pray for this. Next, pray for God's grace to mourn over our sins, to be pure in our lives by hungering for righteousness. A peacemaker is and must be at peace with God. Before you can be a peacemaker, you must first be at peace with God. You must truly know Christ as your Savior. If you are a believer, you must know the peace of God that comes through purity, that comes through righteousness, that comes through obedience to God. Next, pray for God's grace to be merciful and gentle with others. When we're merciful, when we're gentle, it's hard to be harsh. It's hard to be mean. It's hard to escalate. And when we allow these qualities to manifest themselves in our lives, we will be the peacemakers that reflect our Heavenly Father in this world. Praise God. That ends the sermon. Just look at the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. These next 30 days, pray, O Lord, in the morning, Lord, let me be humble before you today. That you be number one in my life. Lord, let me mourn over the sin that reigns in me. Let me mourn over my sin. Please forgive me my sins and make me aware of those sins. Lord, please, in all my relationships today, let me be gentle. Let me be kind. Let me be loving. No matter what I get involved in, let me be you. Lord, give me that hunger. Give me that thirst today to live right before my fellow man, to live right before everyone else, to be righteous in your sight. Lord, please let me extend the mercy when I'm wrong as you give me mercy. Let me keep my eyes focused on who you are, Lord, and what you've done for me. And Lord, if there's any sin in me, purify me. If there's any sin in me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If there's any wrong in me, get my heart uncontaminated. Let me be pure in heart. And you will be like Father, like Son, and you will be a peacemaker because you will act just like what Jesus' final act was, what he came to bring peace to mankind, to bring peace, to give an avenue for man to have salvation. Will you pray the Beatitudes into your life for 30 days? Do you know every to-do in God's Word, I can flow through those Beatitudes? Blessed, the blessed life, happiness. Amen? Praise God. What a challenge. All you got to do is pray. If you are here Wednesday night, you learn. And if you're in Grace Intercessors and you've heard previous messages, prayer does something. It aligns your heart with God. If we pray this for 30 days, you will be more aware of your sin and your relationships. Amen. Please, let's stand and sing.